Be seated. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 15, and we are going to dive right into it. In the last week of Jesus' life, Jesus offers us some really strong and good encouragements. There's also some things that he says that they're kind of strange, right? They're kind of like, okay, this is an odd encouragement. And here today, he's going to remind us that we will be hated if we truly follow Jesus. And this is strange to me. He says, come, follow me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And then he says, you're going to be hated for doing it, but do it anyway. And here we can see Jesus after the Last Supper, right? They're all sitting around talking. And before he gets arrested the night of the Passover, we're not yet at the part where he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane and prays. He is rather verbose in his last moments. He's very talkative. If you guys have red letter Bibles, you'll see that like the last, right after he washes the disciples' feet, it's like this long monologue that Jesus goes on, and he's talking with us, and he's teaching us what's important in Christian life, what's important if we want to follow Jesus. And so during this time, we run into this strange encouragement that we will be hated. And I think it's strange because the way that Jesus taught us to live our lives, right? As we even looked at these verses earlier today, if we're humble and we love mercy and we love justice, we love these things, we're about them, and Jesus taught us to live this way, and he shows us that this is the Jesus truth, the Jesus life in the Jesus way, and we get to walk this out. If we live this way, then why do people hate us? Right? He's like, love one another, serve one another, do these things. And yet, there's this strange thing that says, if you do this, you're going to be hated for me and my name's sake. There's a couple ways that Jesus taught us to live, right? One is humility. We've seen this over and over and over and over in the book of John. Living out the idea, Joanna, even as you read this Philippians 2:3-4, that God says that to consider others more than yourself. Like, and as you ponder on that, if that's true, if we live this thing out, why would anybody hate us? Because we consider them better than we consider ourselves. If we were actually able to live out humility perfectly, or a life of loving one another through acts of service, doing good deeds for people, doing this just as Jesus is instructed, even as we've looked at this good fruit that we get to abide in him, and he's going to create this fruit in us. And then he says, you're going to have this fruit if you abide in me, but if you have this fruit, they're going to hate you. It seems kind of odd that this would be here. And now, before we get to this passage, I want to say two things. I want to say, one is the latter thing is I want to introduce you to the Voice of the Martyrs. If you've never been introduced to the Voices of the Martyrs, it's fantastic. It's a magazine. There's websites, but it's more than that. And so we'll get into that in a minute. But first, I want to say that this doesn't necessarily explain why people hate you if they hate you. It's not just because you're living Jesus' life the Jesus way. I've met many Christians who say, well, of course they're going to hate you. You're living the Jesus life the Jesus way. And they're bullies. They just push people around. They get up on their soapbox and all they ever do is preach doctrine, not necessarily live a life of justice and mercy. And then they're hate speech. And then people go, well, I mean, Jesus told us we'd be hated. Now, this is not what this text means. It's not the guys with the signs that says God hates fags and stuff like that. It's not that. That's actually hate-filled. That's not the Jesus life, the Jesus way. And yet, those folks would say, well, you know, God told us that we'd be hated. Not many would follow us and all these things. So these verses here don't allow us to be jerks. Right? Amen? Like, they don't allow us to be jerks. If we're to live a life led by the Holy Spirit, Luke talked to us about that a couple weeks ago. If we're to live a life filled with the Holy Spirit, humbly through loving service in Christ-likeness. Jesus, the thing that strikes me about Jesus this whole way through is his truth was never like, just truth bombs. Just blow it up and deal with it however you want. It was actually very loving. He was a gentleman. Although he was bold, he never forced his view on anyone, and he loved them perfectly, as he told them with this boldness. Okay, now I want to introduce you to voices. Don't be a jerk. People are going to hate you, but don't be hated for being a jerk. That's the pre-point to this sermon, right? And then Richard, how many of you have heard of Richard Wurmbrand? Anybody? No, fantastic. This is great. Hadassah has a book by him called Tortured for Christ. Remember the book with the hand, Das? You have that book? And so, yeah, it is. That's right. And this man was hated because he was a Christian. See, he had followed Jesus in his life. Okay, he was born in Romania in 1909. He was married to his wife Sabina, and his wife is an amazing woman. I've actually read her biography; it was fantastic. They got married in 1936, and shortly thereafter, he gave his life to Jesus. And after giving his life to Jesus, he became an Anglican priest. Now, what was happening in Europe late 1930s, early 1940s, through mid-1940s? World War II, right? Holocaust. There was massive destruction. And so during World War II, Romania was occupied by Germany, and he went to the Germans as an evangelist for God's good work. So in word, he was going, but then he preached in bomb shelters, right? He preached in bomb shelters, and he also rescued Jewish children from concentration camps. The same concentration camps that his wife Sabina's families were sent and killed at. They would rescue kids out of there. They were arrested many times during World War II, and faced death more than once from firing squads from occupying Germany. But it's funny because he actually considers Nazis to not be that bad compared to the communists that came in after the war. So let me pick up his story here, and I'm going to read a certain section from the Voices of Martyrs website. In 1945, Romanian communists seized a power, and a million invited Russian troops poured into the country. Pastor Wurmbrand ministered to his oppressed countrymen and engaged in bold evangelism to Russian soldiers. One of the things he did, I remember from his biography, he traded watches. They wanted watches, so he would get nice watches, and he would go and trade them with the soldiers just to tell them about Christ. But that same year, Richard and Sabrina Wurmbrand attended the Congress of Cults organized by the Romanian communist government. Many religious leaders came forward to praise communism and swear their loyalty to the new regime. Sabine said, "Richard, stand up and wash away the shame from the face of Christ." Richard warned, "If I do so, you will lose your husband." And she said this, "I don't wish to have a coward as a husband." She replied that. Thus, Richard declared to over 4,000 delegates, those speechless were broadcast to the whole nation, that their duty is to glorify God and Christ alone. Okay, that's not good if you're this guy. You're going to lose your husband, right? He was hated for saying this. Between 1945 and 1947, Richard distributed 100 million gospel tracts to Russian troops. Often smuggled in, disguised as communist propaganda. He would spread it out, and then they would have the words and life of Jesus in there. He also he was a book smuggler. He would dispense literature. If he wasn't going to be able to do this, he would leave stuff there for people. But then in 1948, just walking down the road, he disappeared for 8.5 years. Just disappeared. His wife had no idea. He went out to go get bread or something like that. And he disappeared. And no one knew what happened to him because the secret police nabbed him and put him in prison. But in this prison, he was tortured for Christ. And that's where the name of his book comes from. But He was living the Jesus life, the Jesus way, witnessing to those who oppressed him, living out humility, counting them worthy of the gospel that he had. And yet when he was living the Jesus life, the Jesus way, he was stripped, he was beaten, he went to re-education camps for this whole time, he was starved repeatedly, he was lied to, he was beat some more. His tale of systematic torture that these persecuted Christians faced in the communist prisons is horrific. There are lines in that book that make you go, oh my God, I don't want to go through that. And they were all hated because they loved Jesus. And shortly after this, after his release, 8.5 years later, of being absolutely tortured, he got out. What's the first thing he did? Started an underground church. Went back to doing the work of Jesus. He was arrested again, and somebody purchased him out of slavery and sent him to Norway to be the voice for the persecuted church. And he's been the voice for the persecuted church until his death. And by God's grace, we now have the voices of the martyrs knowing what Christians are going through. And it's odd to say this, but after reading Richard's biography and Sabina's biography, it encouraged me. It actually made me see through their suffering, through the fact that they were hated because of Christ, not because of their own arrogance. It encouraged me that God's alive, that he's at work, that Christ is working his will through this. And you can see God's grace weaved through this story, and that the gospel goes forth and it cannot be stopped. Praise be to God. Let me read these verses, and then we'll pray. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written is in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without cause. Father, we come to this time and we just come kind of just scratching our heads, just going, okay, Lord, will you speak to us? What does it mean that you chose us? Last week we heard that you are our friend and that you love us, and now you're telling us if we're your friends, we're going to be hated. I pray that you will speak to our hearts and our minds. Allow us to understand what you're doing. And Lord, allow us to understand this as an encouragement from you as our friend. In Jesus' name, amen. Musa. How many of you guys have heard of this guy? Musa, probably no one, because you guys, on Musa Tinimbu, he lives in Niger. On January 17th, just this year, 2015, right, this is the modern world, this is not decades ago, this is not eons ago, this is earlier this year, about the time the Seahawks were getting ready to lose the Super Bowl, okay? Go Seahawks. On the 17th of January was a Saturday, and in the Republic of Niger, radical Muslims burned down 70 Christian churches in one day because they hated Jesus and they didn't want Jesus to be known. Here is a picture from the next day. This is a burnt down church. And you can see these men, and I don't know which one is Musa, but one of them is Musa. And they were in this church worshiping Jesus the very next day. Okay, 70 churches in their region just burned down. And they said, okay, here we go. We're going to worship him regardless. After the attack, Musa said this, "We were just blown away because here we were in our own village with our own family and people who have benefited from a Christian presence in this town," right? Benefited why? Because they lived humbly, because they showed justice, they showed mercy. They were there reaching and preaching and proclaiming both word and deed. And now we are being chased. But the Lord encouraged us. The Lord encouraged us in this burnt out building. When we were overwhelmed, the Lord just reminded us that we are worthy. We are worthy to suffer shame for his name. Even though, the Islamic Council of Niger condemned these attacks, they still happened. They still happened. And January 17th, 10 Christians died. Why did they die? Just because these people hated Christ. That's it. It's the only reason that they died. And they died because they were not greater than their master, yet they served alongside their master. And they were unjustly murdered, just as Jesus was unjustly murdered, all for worshiping their friend, Jesus. And then, not only did 10 Christians die, there were also 170 injured. 170 people in this region injured. There were schools that were burned down, orphanages, pastors' homes, all burned to the ground, besides these 70 churches. This suffering that these folks have experienced is frustrating. But there is... Here's what Musa said about these attacks. There is a greater reward that awaits us, and the one benefit of this great reward is suffering. Oh my gosh. The one benefit of this great reward, is suffering. He said this, God is encouraging us to continue to love them, love the attackers who killed 10, injured 170, and sent their region into flames. They were tempted to hate him, but they said, no, we're going to love them. We're not going to give in to that temptation. Now let me read this. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Does this not ring home true? These men worshiping in this burnt down church because they counted it a reward to suffer for Christ. They counted it a reward to be hated just as their master was hated. This is John chapter 15 coming to life. Very real. And so I'd ask us this. Do we have this attitude? Okay, that's a rhetorical question, generally speaking, right? The answer is we can be discouraged by having small numbers in church because people are sick, but this building's here, even though it's being used by a church. It's not burnt down. Every now and again, the bathrooms are dirty, but we do not go through the same thing. And the bathrooms aren't dirty because they hate us. They're dirty because no one cleans them. It's a little bit different. So I ask myself this constantly, do we have this attitude? Do we have this attitude being willing to be hated for Christ? Or better, what would it look like to have this attitude? Maybe ask it in a positive way. What would it look like to have this attitude? Mo and I were talking, we actually got a date last night. Don't tell my kids because they were sleeping, they had no idea. We went on a date last night, and we talked about this. We talked about what would it look like to really put ourselves out there and allow ourselves to get dirty and do the work that Jesus gave us to do, to love the poor, like we talked about earlier, and have that be the center of the strategy for Grace and Mercy Church moving forward. And you know what? It's scary. It's extremely scary. But yet God says that some are going to hate us because he calls us friend. And so we get to live a life without fear if we have this attitude. I imagine that. I don't have that. And I wish I had an attitude without fear. Rather than just hold up in our comfort and being comfortable with all that we have and building all these boundaries and these fences around us to keep us safe, actually stepping out in faith and allowing the Lord to do what he's going to do and live differently than the world lives. Why? Because he loved us first. And here we go. We get to be stretched far outside our comfort zones where we so long to be loved, but yet we live in a world that's going to hate us if we follow Christ. That is, if we follow Jesus' life, the Jesus way. And I wrote this down, and this is my prayer. Oh Lord, take us out of our comfort zones and allow us to be hated for your name. And I don't say that easily. I don't pray that easily. How many of you guys have heard of Rebecca? Probably not spelt this way, right? R-E-B-E-K-H-A. I'm guessing it's Rebecca. I don't know how to spell it. Rebecca Bealey is a Christian in Pakistan. Let me say that again. A Christian in Pakistan. If you guys know anything about Pakistan, this is not an easy place to be a Christian. This is not an easy place to be a woman, let alone be a Christian. But because she became a Christian, she is hated in this area of the world. Rebecca is absolutely hated in this area of the world. In 2002, she became a Christian. God rescued her. God chose her. God picked her out, made her a part of his family. Then when her family found out, they tried to kill her. They tried to murder her just because she became a Christian. They didn't want a Christian in their family, probably not only because they were Muslim, but because they didn't want other people to find out, because they didn't want this propaganda spreading throughout their neighborhood. So somehow, Jesus rescued her out of this. And it was during this time of persecution and ostracization from her family that she found her new family, that family that comes from being a part of God's family. And during this time, God birthed a vision in her heart to reach the Muslims and the Hindus in Pakistan. Here's this lady, fearing for her life when she gives her life to Jesus, knowing, counting the cost and saying it's worth it, and going out and doing this work. She found a new family in Christ at the school that she attended that was run by Voice of the Martyrs. She attended for 2 years, and she learned how to reach people with the love of Jesus. Very simple school. I guarantee everybody in this room has had equivalent to that if you've just gone to church and gone to any type of training in the last few years. Rebecca knew her life was on the line. She knew it. Not only for being a Christian, but also being a woman, going into Pakistan. And she knew these verses. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecute me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. She wanted people to know Jesus. She wanted people to know Jesus. She was willing to take risk her own life because she knew that she wasn't supposed to be pampered more than Jesus was. She was going to live the Jesus life, the Jesus way. She's not greater than he is. And so she did what God called her to do and followed him, counted the cost, and said it's worth it. Today, this is Rebecca here. She travels from village to village as one of the only female evangelists in all of Pakistan. This woman here. Who does she go to? The weak, the poor, the vulnerable, the children. She speaks with freedom in an oppressive country. Oppressive on many different fronts, religious most definitely, but then in all sorts of other areas. Jesus is alive and at work in her life. She says this. Here's Rebecca's faith, her God-given faith and her boldness in her own words. "I have no fear from any fanatic. I am strong in faith." Who's the one that gives the gift? God, right? God's the one who gives the gift. "If God wants me in this area, nobody can stop me." Amen. If God wants me in this area, no one can stop me. She's out in the open teaching these children about Jesus Christ. Rebecca's faith and lived life is an example of how we can live our lives without fear. She is an evangelist in one of the hardest environments in the entire world to evangelize in. Jesus is alive and at work in her life, and she is willing to be hated because she doesn't count herself greater than her master. See, we don't need to have fear either. We can abide in Christ, and we learned last week, Jesus is going to call us to be his friends, and that even as we're his friends, we've got work to do through his friendship. And so we can live this life, we can live the gospel out in such a way. So we have no need to fear. Though the suffering of these saints and many more people are brought into the love of the Father, where once they hate him. See, time doesn't allow us to tell of all of Southeast Asia or Iraq or the rest of Africa. We only told about one small part of Africa, but all over Africa, people, Christians are being killed for their faith. Or what about even in the Americas? Colombia, which is claims to be 85% Christian, is actually one of the biggest places in the world for persecution of Christians because of the FARC there. That's a rebel group. Or Cuba, which is 90 miles off Florida's border. They are hated there because of Jesus. The Christians are absolutely hated there. As it is true, with most hatred, much of the hatred comes from ignorance, right? Like they hate because they don't know. They hate on Jesus because they don't know Jesus and they have misunderstandings about Jesus. But here we see in verse 22, it says, "If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin." Jesus is not saying this, well, now they're going to be accountable, like that's their bad. No, he's saying this as somebody who loves the world and wants them to know him. John wrote this book so that people may know that Jesus is a Christ and have life and life to the full. Most people don't realize why they hate God. They have no cause to hate him. But we get to, and I say get to, live a life that causes people to see their sin and then offer them a solution that only comes from Christ to free them from their sin, to free them from their bound upness. And we get to live a life that reflects Jesus and shines in this dark world. Let me share the darkness of the world that we live in. I've actually been driving around this area quite a bit lately and seeing new things. God's been bringing these things to my mind. You know that there are gangs that are winning the hearts of kids that the church won't touch because these kids are messy. And gangs are like, we'll take them. We'll deal with the mess. And the church says no. And I say, church, I'm including us in that, like, in that area where we're not where God wants us to be yet. There's a systemic sin in the area that keeps the poor from living life to the full. Think about apartment. What happens when your apartment runs up? Well, they charge you more. They charge you more every time. Like, you sign that lease gets up. Just about every time they're going to charge you more money, but for you to move, you're going to have to come up with first, last, and deposit. And they know you're stuck, so they raise the rates on you. What about the free lunch systems and actually the poorer quality of teachers come to the schools in this neighborhood? Because the good teachers go to different schools in good districts. So there's systemic sin that's keeping many people from living life to the full. There are drugs that are being dealt at a staggering rate from homes in this area and probably these apartments. Drugs being dealt. I was talking with one guy yesterday who said, "Oh, you're in South Everett?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, A lot of the people I used to go to prison with moved up there and started pimping girls out. And because kids are in the room, I won't describe what that means, but that's what they do. They came up here to make a living off the purchase of these young ladies. And like Jesus did for us, we get to enter in. As Jesus came down from heaven, here we are. We might as well join in with what God's doing. God wants to bring justice to the poor. He wants to bring this. He says that we're going to be hated, and so we can give up a little comfort. We can obey the commandment to fear not. My fear is that we pretend that we're better than Jesus and that Jesus came just to bring us comfort. That's my fear for not only for us, but for the American church. We can no longer pretend to be better than our master who gave up heaven to win us. To win us. Who gave up heaven and died on a cross. Who gave up heaven for the cold, stone-hewn grave that he laid in when he was dead. And who gave up heaven to serve us as a lowly servant. This is our God. This is the God who we worship, who enters in. And at the end of this life that he lived, after going through this, the Jesus life, at the end of that, he rose from the dead, and his promise is that in our death to ourselves is where he rises us again to full life in him. In allowing ourselves to be like our Savior and like our friend, Jesus calls us to die to ourselves so that we may live to him. Remember, this life that we live here on earth is but a vapor. It's but a mist and it's done, and we spend eternity with him. And as we take communion, I'd like us to repent. Whether it's fear that God will actually cause people to hate us because we love him, not because we're being jerks. Remember this, that's very important, especially for me. Or that maybe it's because we value comfort over walking with Jesus, thinking that Jesus died to bring us comfort when Jesus is saying to us here that people are going to hate you because they hate me. Maybe we need to repent from a cowardiceness that we have. Or maybe it's for thinking that we are being hated when we're for loving Jesus when we're just being jerks. I know that I could share story upon story where that's true for me. But in taking communion, we can also, in repentance, remember the cost of following Jesus. Jesus' body was broken and his blood was shed so that we might be considered his friends. And that in considered as friends, some people might hate us. When you're ready, please come take communion. And Rachel, whenever you're done taking communion, please lead us in worship. But Father, we come before you knowing that people hated you. And Lord, we do not want to put ourselves above you. We know that if we get to live this life, the Jesus way, a life of love, and humble service, Lord, that people are going to hate us, even though they have no reason to. So I pray that you will come and that you will allow us to repent and that we can just confess to you fear or like our desire for comfort. Or maybe it's that we think people hate us for you, but we're just actually being jerks. Will you bring that to our hearts and our minds, Lord, and allow us to repent from that? I pray that we may follow you in the way that you want us to. In Jesus' name, amen.